This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Well, folks, here we go again. Another story that's going to have you questioning whether you sleep with the lights on tonight or maybe leave the house altogether. I'm Tony Bruschi, and if you're like me, you've probably asked yourself at least once in your life how much of what we can't explain is just our brains going haywire and how much of it is something else entirely. Now buckle up, because tonight's tale isn't your run-of-the-mill ghost story. This one? Oh, it gets personal. We've got a house that looks as innocent as your grandma's place. Built in the 60s, purple shag carpet, the works, a neighborhood where everybody knows everybody and no one ever expects things to get weird. But that's exactly where things start to go south. You see, it always begins quietly, barely noticeable. A flickering light, a cold spot, maybe a dog staring at the wall for hours, barking at something nobody else sees. No big deal, right? Until it is. That's the thing about hauntings. They start slow, like a song creeping up the radio volume when no one's touched the dial, and suddenly you're neck deep in slamming doors, exploding lights, and in this case, something named Benjamin. Yeah, Benjamin. And trust me, you'll get to know him soon enough. You ever wonder if a ghost can get attached to someone? Not just a house, but a person? Stick with them no matter where they go? That's what our storyteller here is up against. Is Benjamin just a remnant of bad wiring in the brain? Or is he the kind of ghost that likes to pull your hair and throw books at you when you're not looking? Either way, I'll let you decide as we dive into this letter. And fair warning, this isn't just about creepy crawlies in the basement. It's about what happens when your safe spaces aren't so safe anymore. So sit back, relax, well, maybe not too much. Let's see what's really hiding in the corners of this one. Let's begin. Dear Tony, I've listened to your show for a while, and I never thought I'd be the one writing in with my own story. But here I am, and honestly, I don't know if getting it all down will help or make things worse. Maybe it'll at least help me sort out what's real and what isn't. I'll warn you, this one gets weird. It started when I was 12, and even now, years later, I still can't shake the feeling that something's with me. Something that calls itself Benjamin. We moved into the house, a side-by-side built back in the 60s. One of those places with thick carpets, the kind that remembers every footprint. Nothing about it screamed haunted. But on Halloween, because of course it had to be Halloween, the neighbors saw something odd. They told the real estate agent the master bedroom light was on. But according to her, the electricity was supposed to be off. She'd made sure of it. No one thought much of it at the time, just a little quirk in the circuit, maybe. If only that was all it was. When we finally moved in, we found writing on the crawlspace door in the basement, "The ghost lives here." And right below that, "Benjamin's room." Now, most people would have packed their things right then and there, but not my family. My mom just laughed it off, probably something the last owner's kids scribbled for fun. At that time, we didn't know how long Benjamin had really been there, waiting for his next guests. At first, life was normal, boring even. Then we got Shadow, our dog. Sweetest thing in the world, except he'd bark for hours at a specific spot on the wall, right above the couch. Nothing we did could get him to stop. It was as if he could see something the rest of us couldn't. Eventually, we had to give him away. Too much barking, too little sleep. Poor Shadow. I wonder now if he was trying to warn us. Mom was the first one to experience something hands-on. One day, while mopping the floor, the mop just stopped like someone had grabbed it mid-swipe. My mom's not one to scare easily. She shouted, "Let go!" And just like that, the mop was free. Another time, she smelled cigarette smoke in the bathroom. Nobody in the house smoked. When she demanded, "I'd like some privacy, please," the smell vanished. Mom always joked it was a pervy ghost, but we all knew she was only half kidding. At night, my sister slept in the basement while I stayed upstairs. They'd hear things sometimes, footsteps, muffled whispers, but they kept their doors shut tight, as if that would keep Benjamin out. My parents separated not long after we moved in, and it was just me and my dad left in the house. Then I decided to move my bedroom into the basement. That was a mistake. At night, if I left the door open, I could hear slow, dragging footsteps in the hallway outside my room. They never rushed or stumbled, just that steady, deliberate shuffle. It was maddening. After a few sleepless nights, I started shutting the door tight. It helped, sort of, until the night something pulled my hair. I was lying in bed next to my boyfriend. He was already asleep, and we were back to back. Suddenly, I felt a sharp tug on my hair. Thinking it was him, I spun around and slapped him awake. He looked at me, confused and groggy, swearing he hadn't touched me. And I knew he wasn't lying. There was no way he could have pulled my hair without me feeling him move first. Another time, a book hit us on the head in the middle of the night, one I distinctly remembered placing beside the bed earlier. It had been sticky, so I didn't want to put it back on the bookshelf. My stepmom swore she hadn't touched it, and no one else had been home. After that, my girlfriend, now wife, said she saw a black shape standing near the bookshelf. Just the outline of a head, she said. Nothing more. And then there's the figure I keep seeing out of the corner of my eye. It only happens at my dad's house, never anywhere else. I'll be sitting in the living room, and there it is, peeking out from the hallway. I've tried to replicate it in other rooms, other places, nothing. Only here at Dad's does it show itself. It wasn't just limited to the living room, though. One day, after I'd been away from the house for a while, I came back with my wife and kid. We were sitting in the kitchen chatting when I saw it again. This time, it was peeking around the entrance to the kitchen, just watching. I told my family Benjamin was there. My stepmom brushed it off as voodoo crap, but I knew what I saw. He stayed for about 10 minutes, then vanished, as if satisfied with whatever it came to do. And Tony, here's the kicker. I don't think Benjamin is the only thing in that house. I wish I could say things stopped after that visit, but they didn't. Benjamin, or whatever he is, hasn't just stuck around. He's changed. The activity became darker. It started to feel less like a spirit trapped between worlds and more like something that enjoys toying with us. I couldn't get away from it, even after I moved out. It's as if he isn't tied to the house anymore. He's tied to me. The last time I stayed at Dad's, I slept in the basement again. This time, I made sure the door was closed tight, but it didn't help. Around midnight, I heard the footsteps, soft, dragging, but now they were inside my room. I froze. I couldn't bring myself to turn over or move a muscle. Something was in there with me. Then I felt it. Pressure on the mattress, as if someone sat down right next to me. I didn't breathe. I just squeezed my eyes shut and waited for it to leave. After what felt like hours, the weight lifted and the footsteps shuffled out the door. I swear, Tony, I wasn't dreaming. One of the creepiest things happened not long after that. I was with my wife. We were staying at Dad's. And we decided to sleep in the living room this time, thinking it would be safer. Around 3 a.m., I woke up to the sound of whispering. It was too quiet to make out the words, but it wasn't my wife. She was sound asleep next to me. I stayed completely still, listening as the whispers grew louder, circling the room. Then, just as quickly as it started, it stopped. I was left in silence, but I knew I wasn't alone. That's the thing with Benjamin. He's not a constant presence. It's like he comes and goes, just when you start to feel safe. And every time he shows up, it's worse than the last. One time, my wife and I were in bed, and I felt a sharp tug on my foot, hard enough to jolt me awake. I thought it was her, but when I looked over, she was fast asleep. I kicked out instinctively, but I didn't hit anything. Just empty air. It's not just the physical stuff either. It's the mind games that get to you. I'll be sitting at home hours away from Dad's house, and suddenly I'll feel that same oppressive heat I used to feel in my old bedroom. It'll only last a few minutes, but it's enough to remind me that Benjamin is still there, watching, waiting. I tried to do some digging, hoping I could find out who Benjamin really is or was, but I hit dead ends everywhere. There's no record of anyone named Benjamin living in the house, dying there, or even being connected to the property. It's like the name just appeared out of nowhere. I even reached out to the neighbors, and the only thing I got was a weird story about one of the previous owners. An old man who used to sit by the window for hours, mumbling to himself, but no Benjamin. Sometimes I wonder if Benjamin was ever a person at all. Maybe it's something else, something pretending to be human. I know that sounds crazy, but at this point, I don't know what to believe. I've even thought about bringing in a priest or someone who knows about this kind of stuff, but I'm afraid that might make things worse. There's one last thing that's been on my mind lately, and it's the reason I'm writing you now. A couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in my apartment far away from Dad's house when I saw it again. Out of the corner of my eye, just for a split second, a figure peeking around the corner of the hallway. It was the same smoky outline, the same shape I've seen 100 times at Dad's place. But this time, it was in my home. Tony, I don't know what to do. It's one thing to deal with a haunted house, but how do you escape something that follows you? Benjamin isn't just a ghost in some old house anymore. He's here, with me. And I don't think he's going away anytime soon. I guess that's the scariest part, knowing there's no way out. Thanks for listening. Jason. Well, folks, what do you make of that one? Jason's not just dealing with bumps in the night. This goes deeper. A haunted house is one thing, but a haunted life? Now, that's the kind of story that sticks with you. It raises a lot of questions, too. Is Jason dealing with a restless spirit, some ghost with unfinished business, or is it all in his head? The product of years of stress and fear feeding into each other like a vicious loop. We know that the brain is tricky. Ever heard of sleep paralysis? Your mind wakes up, but your body stays asleep, leaving you stuck in place while you hallucinate figures, shadows, or even the feeling of being touched. Could Jason be experiencing something like that, his mind creating Benjamin out of fragments of anxiety and trauma? People have also reported feeling phantom touches and temperature changes under stress. So maybe Benjamin is less a ghost and more a manifestation of what Jason's been through. But then again, maybe it's not. If it's not psychological, what are we left with? A spirit that isn't tied to a location, but to a person? That's not unheard of. There are stories of attachments, spirits latching onto individuals, not places. It's as if they pick a favorite human and follow them wherever they go, like some ghostly stalker. Maybe that's what Benjamin is, a spirit that's found a home in Jason's life, not just his old house. And if that's the case, well, folks, that's a whole different level of unsettling. There's also the chance that Benjamin isn't a ghost at all. What if it's something else, something older? Spirits that take human names to get closer to their prey aren't exactly new in folklore. If Benjamin wasn't human to begin with, it makes sense that Jason couldn't find any record of him. But if that's the case, what does Benjamin want? And here's the question that keeps me up at night. What do you do when the thing you're running from doesn't stay put? When it moves with you like a shadow you can't escape? I'd love to say I have an answer for Jason. I don't. Maybe Benjamin's just curious, looking for attention, or maybe he's waiting for something. I guess that's for Jason to figure out. I'm Tony Bruschi. Sleep tight, folks, and maybe keep an eye on the corners of your room tonight, just in case. What do you think, phantom or figment? I'll leave that one up to you.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.